we're continuing. We're still finishing on sip 4. Well, it's going to drop early, but not too much. Maybe 4 to 5 or 10 to 5, so we'll do some.
I'm sorry, what's the
This is Mukta 3084. I tried to make the sheets user-friendly. I didn't do a perfect job. I'm almost there. I hope in the answer key, at least, they will be user-friendly and understandable. I can send it to you an email if you want to see them. I'll give it to you guys for sure. So we are like this. So we saw in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah explains that food was never decreed as mukta. There's no mukta in food. Why should food be mukta? Food is food is food. They never need food. What about pesamim? What about how you want hadassim, right? You want to go around the table. Can you do anything you want with the hadassim? Or is it, you can't do nothing with the hadassim. You have to have a reason why you're doing it. Why you're moving it. Mukta has to have a reason. Even if it's a vessel that's committed, you have to have a reason to move it. You can't have no reason. Not for nothing. If you enjoy it, it's interesting. The Rosh Hashanah says if you like to play with it, you're allowed to. You're allowed to. That's because it's fun on Shabbos. I like to, because I'm like, I need something to do, so I like to play with my, I like to play with whatever it is. That's okay. Even after the food, you can do anything you want. No problem. Theoretically, you know, there's a story in Brestov about these bunch of Chassidim who were sitting together, and one guy was really a bit melancholy. You know, I'm sure he was making Cheshvan Nefesh, he was working on Simcha, but he didn't notice that he was kind of over the edge a little. So someone took an orange peel and threw it, like a little orange or whatever, or a banana, and they made it like a little, I don't know, I'm sure they didn't ruin the food, but they, you know, throwing things around, and everyone got happy. You know, you have to, so on Shabbos, the food that's permitted of an orange peel, but you can, there are certain, as long as you're not ruining it, as long as you're allowed to do it during the week, you're not ruining the food, whatever it is, you're allowed to, because it's discussed in Halacha in terms of throwing at a chassan. What can you throw, what can't, don't throw things to get ruined, don't ruin stuff, it's a whole discussion, what and when. So, that's food. What about hadassim? What about the sun? Is it? What's the status there? That's question number 6. So, Rakhrel says in Kutshani something very interesting. He says, what's the problem? It's like food. It's like food. What's the trouble? Food is something I always need, right? I'm always using it, right? I mean, it's the same thing with spice. If you're someone who likes to take spice, it's also a bodily need, as it were. It's also something. That's what Karel explains in Kutcher. Something comes out. So it's not a problem whatsoever. Now, the Bavli HaShulchan argues. He said, I'm sorry, but the summon is not so simple that it should be permitted. Why are you permitting the summon?
What about things like cinnamon? Cinnamon is a food that you
No, well, cinnamon is a food, so it's no problem. The minute you use it as a food, it's no trouble at all. It's no muksa, zero muksa.
Maybe cinnamon.
You can't eat it.
You only smell when you're grinding it. You smell it.
You're allowed. It's detached, and you don't need to grind it for a particular. It's not. I don't think you want to say it's dried. It's cooking. I don't remember. It might be. I don't remember the rules of cooking enough. It might be cooking. Maybe if it's dried, you can't just break it up. Mr. Brewer, I'll look in a second. Shulchan Aruch. There are certain halachas. Chelik Gimel. Sorry, yeah. I don't remember. It might be not according to everyone. I'll check. I'll take a second. Okay. Okay. Excellent question, by the way. Very good. Halacha of Shabbat question.
So what does meat is there that can't be used as food? Or as a medicinal. I've used the word medicinal wrong.
You can use it, but the question is, can I? Like I said, food is better than let's say a cup. A cup, according to some people, it's a vessel. So maybe even though you often need a cup, it could be you only use it without moving for a reason.
There's something that is missing. Mm-hmm. So you have a food tree.
No, that's muksa for sure. Right. Now we'll get to that as we get to No, that's worse. But regular food, usually food is not a problem. Muksa. So I don't, you know. So the Baal HaShulchan is not happy with it. He says it's a permitted use, but the only permitted food. So he said. That should be any different. Okay, yeah, like I said, there's a way around it. No, maybe not. Not here. No, here it doesn't. It's not relevant. You're right. If it's dry, you're not allowed to break it up. You're right. Well said. Excellently put. But be careful not to break it up because it's a problem of tochin. Some say if you're going to use it right away, it's not a problem of tochin. Tochin wants to leave it later. So if you dry, if it's to use it, then you throw it out. You're not going to use it more. So it could be, it would be permitted. Or it's just going to go in the pot. Maybe to feed that. If you're immediately going to use it, there is like borer. There is such a question. That's not our topic, but it's a good point. So. Yeah, presumably it's the same. Like that's what the Chutzani says. I would assume it would be the same. There is an opinion that argues. I don't remember where it is. That's the one answer I didn't write actually. I wrote the Baal HaShulchan says you're not allowed because, and I just left it. I didn't write the because. So maybe tomorrow. So, we saw about tefillin. Tefillin, I don't think I'm going to answer this question just now. I'll just ask it. Tefillin, you know, this whole question, is it permitted, is it permitted? What can you do with it on Shabbos? Maybe it's not worth it. You can't do much with it. Maybe it's a vessel which has a prohibited use, right? Klish nachle isser, you can only move it. If you need the place, whatever, to protect it, it's the same idea, because it's a mitzvah to protect it, so for a mitzvah you're allowed to move it at least. So it's very interesting. Today, how much does tefillin cost?
Hundreds.
Many, many hundreds, maybe even 1,000. So we learned that a vessel which has a prohibited use of Shabbos, which is a lot of money, and you're careful to put it in a particular place, you don't use it for anything else, sounds like film, right? It's called Muxamach, which is a certain kiss. That's Muxa because it's very precious and valuable, and a person like puts it out of his mind, like doesn't want to use it on Shabbos. So. Does that apply today? Why shouldn't it apply today? That's the question. There's two answers. I don't think we'll answer it yet, but it's just something to think about. It's like interesting. Why shouldn't it be Chisaron Kiss? What about a mezuzah that fell on the floor? Can you pick it up?
So you can pick it up because it's for its Kedusha.
If you can read it, you for sure can pick it up.
Yeah.
But if it's sealed, it's not so simple. It's unprohibited.
If it's sealed?
You can't open it. It has no use in Shabbos.
Yeah, but isn't it like an issue of like kavod? You know?
It's a mitzvah. No, it's for sure a mitzvah. But the question is, even though it's a mitzvah, who said it's it's not so clear you're allowed to just pick it up. Like, let's say gneiss is on the floor. It's also the same question. If you don't learn it, you don't use it. If it's really not usable, so you're not allowed to. It's not so simple. Now, there's audio. There's different interesting proofs about it. How it works.
So what do you do? I mean, if you can't pick it up, then...
If it used, most businesses you can use, okay.
I mean, is it
so
okay?
This I'll answer. I personally would say one can pick it up. And the reason why is because I had a teacher named Rav Fisher. Rav Yaakov Yisrael Fisher, he was a dying, he's a very great person, tremendously great person. And he used to recommend giving mezuzahs for shmira. You want to help someone with certain, has certain problems, you can wear a mezuzah. So you see, a mezuzah has a use in Shabbos. Yeah. So mezuzah has a use in Shabbos.
Some people aren't supposed to wear it.
That's a different question. That's a different discussion. Say they're not supposed to wear them? It depends who made the amulet. If Kaduri made amulets, nobody would say you can't wear his. He was okay. The question is, if you know how to, I mean, amulets are... Whenever this topic comes up, I always quote there's an introduction to a book about how to write amulets from Rav Kaduri. He wrote an approbation, and his approbation, he said, you need to have three skills when you're writing amulets. Number one, you need to know not only what to do technically, but where all of these worlds that you're supposed to be accessing when you write the amulet, where are you really going? What do they really mean? Like, you can't just, like, it's not like technical. You have to go there and understand what it's about. He said, number two, he said, you have to know how to use the name of God that's going to make the quill write on its own. That might mean, while you're holding his hand, you're just in a very great state of dvekis. It might mean, without holding it, I wouldn't know, to be honest. And the third thing, he says, is you better be on the level, or woe to you. That's what he writes. He said, you better really, you can know where it's all means. You know the name, and you really can make the quill write on its own. You have dvekis, it's very nice. You better really be on the level. So, I don't really... It's not really an issue for me much. I know I'm not on the level, but I don't know. There are different people that they do it, or some do it, some don't, and I don't really understand these things. All I can say is that the Sefer Chassidim is a very scary Sefer Chassidim. I think it's Sefer Chassidim. He said, do not make amulets, do not do any practical Kabbalah stuff. He said, because you are taking your life in your hands, don't say the poor guy, I'll help him, because you're killing yourself for him, and believe me, your life comes first. That's he writes, it's very sharp. He said, do not tamper with us. And they know. Rav Chaim Vital asked Arizal. He said, we have practical Kabbalah. It has to be for a reason. If it was revealed, it must be that some people are allowed to use it. Who's allowed to use it? He said, of course you're allowed to use it. If you've never ever sinned. Never. If you've never ever sinned, you can. If you've sinned even two of them, sorry, you can't use it.
Like, it's like trying to control
anything. Oh, yeah, it's not for us. This stuff is just not for us. Believe me. It's not. Okay. So that's the mezuzah. So the fee that Rav Fisher, you're allowed.
Is there paper for this one?
It is, but I didn't get it picked it up. But didn't come.
What's the question you're working on now?
We were working on, can you pick up a mezuzah?
Mezuzah?
Yeah. False. And so we said, if you can open the mezuzah, it's like any Kitzvah Kodesh. We said, anything, a holy writing, you can learn a mezuzah, you can read it, you can learn a lachs mezuzah from it, but...
That's not the usual use.
No, but... Yeah, but so what? You can pick it up at least. It's not nothing. It's like, please, not lizard. Okay, but for the mitzvah of picking up, I can pick it up.
But it calls you to put it back on.
That you have to be careful not to. And you're right.
It's like, why can't you check a chauffeur or an escort or something else? It's not going to carry it.
That's why you can't do the mitzvah. You can't do the mitzvah. The question is if that's really true. That's the question.
I understand.
If you know yourself, then maybe you'll. If you know yourself, so it's a different story. But if not, if you don't know, if you're not sure, if you don't know. Most people, let's say, a person who knows the Shabbos, he's thinking, can I pick this up? Sefer Torah, you can read. And mezuzah is open, you for sure can pick up. Because you can use it to read. If he knows himself, he's going to put up, he's going
to
get after
one. You
can. It's not mukhs. Yeah. It's Kitzvah Kodesh. Kitzvah Kodesh is not mukhs at all. That's what we saw.
Then why is it even a question?
Because if it's sealed, you have a problem, you can't use it. That's the question. And Rav Perel says you can't pick it up. considered mukta. Sorry.
Yeah,
you can't. You're not use it for anything. It's not. I don't know if it counts like a cleave, and I don't know exactly how it works. So, but like I said, Rav Fisher said that you could use it sometimes to prescribe it as an adulant. She said it does have a permitted use. He would say some people who want well can wear a mezuzah can help them get it together. 2 weeks. So you put your cover over twice. But he's talking about
particular 2 weeks.
Yeah,
until
it happens, the person gets more focused. And he's talking about a particular a particular problem, which you probably don't have.
No problem.
I don't think I'm going to say, but
actually,
yeah, it's not a usual problem.
Huh?
It's possible, but I have to. And I'm not even sure how to like evaluate whether. No, it doesn't matter. Actually, yeah, fine. That's what he says. Certainly not on a tape. For sure, not on a tape. No question. A certain thing it helps for. So the minute it helps, it has a use. So you can pick it. The feed
out. But even the fact that it's just. It's got Kedusha, so like. Like
that's the question. That's what I'm trying. I don't remember where it is. I didn't write in these questions. But Geniza, it's not so clear that if it's totally useless, like it got almost dissolved, or it's not really learning stuff, it's not so clear that you can pick it up. It's not so clear. It's Muktzah. It's not so simple. The Chazanish that comes out is like, no. It's not simple. I can't. It's like, Mamash, interesting. See, I'll send you the answers. Just don't give them out.
Anyway. Why did he get them?
He can have. That's awesome, not on tape, afterwards, probably. I'm just kidding. So, but actually, that's how we're holding it.
Let's pause for a second here.
Let's
pause
and finish. Bezer Shem. Tiat Shemai. We're little time and a lot to do. We have something called a Swiss Army knife. It's got many attachments. Now, I'm an Uman. I don't have a knife. I always use my Swiss Army knife, I table it. Now, it's got attachments. It's got a nail clipper. It's got a screwdriver. It's got a computer set to open and close every one of the screws in my computer, all of them, and cut the wires. Special stuff. Can I use this for a bread knife on Shabbos or not? It's worth a lot of money. If it's Kalish and Afalissa, it's Nooks and Afalissa can start with the kids. I'm careful with that. I don't want to use it for anything else. Let's say, well, there we go. That's it. That's the one. It doesn't look like it's quite big enough for the computer one, but it's good. It's excellent. So can I or can't I use it?
What do you use that one for?
You don't want to know.
Anything.
If it's something to use, you need to hold my stuff in the bag.
See, if I had the page, it would say, don't talk about anything about the Muktzah. Anyway, excellent. So, fine. So, is the Muktzah or not? That's the question.
No.
Yeah.
You're both right.
Right.
It's a machlokes. It's a question.
But I'm right, right?
Sort of, because it depends. If the attachment that's... I was unscrewing my computer. I was doing. It's not clear if it's machzor and kist. Even if it's not that valuable, or you say I'm not careful, use it whatever you want. It's very strong.
Part of it is that.
That's the question. Is it also? Is it baker a klishmak list, or can I use it because
it's
not. Is it buttle?
So you have some full style. You never know. It might be some time.
If it's open. It could be.
You're taking the knife.
If it's open.
Oh, you actually have a screwdriver.
I'm happy to hear. And I hear what you're saying. But you should know if it's open, some say it's already, maybe it's a screwdriver with potential knife. And you can't move that screwdriver. It's not so simple. He's not so happy. But others argue. The Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says as long as they're closed, he said they are like, they don't exist. It's just a knife.
It's like part of the
knife. Yeah, just like it's quite, it's irrelevant. It's just a knife. That's how he looks at it. Now.
On the same question. I've seen hollow knives that fold in.
That's fine. As long as there's no muktzah attached to it.
I mean,
that knife has muktzah stuff
right,
inside.
Right, but you have the handle and then you have the blade.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's not a problem.
That's
we're talking about the screwdriver.
No, if sometimes he's right. Sometimes it can, I mean, I don't know what happens with yours, but mine, like, it sort of dies and you can't put it back together. You can't, that's already a different question.
Right.
Is it building in the business building? It's not probably not that, but it's a different question. Hopefully. It's not a real one. You got a fake one if it did that to
no,
you.
No, on the same question, what about the hollow boards with the knife insert.
It's also fine. No problem whatsoever. Does anyone have an elevator? Anyone? So if you have a key to an elevator, that's obviously muktzah, right? If you have that attached to your keys, or if you have a car, your car keys on the car, can you carry the keys or not? It's a question. I don't have a tie. Or let's say I know that that's not allowed.
No.
Let's say. Let's say I know it's not allowed. I want to use my keys. I want to carry my keys around in my hand and open the lock. Can I do it or not?
Shabbos kol.
You mean you have the key to your house and
I just want to hold the key. Here's the key. It's attached to this. This is muktzah, right?
You have a ring of keys.
So I can't carry this. I have a problem.
Will the key, if you do it, ignite some sort of electricity?
I'm not gonna use it. Yeah, my password.
Throw a Swarovski knife to your house, please.
No, seriously.
Anything, you know, you can't, anything that's not part of the house key.
Swiss Army knife, the stuff is inside. He says it doesn't count.
Right.
But here it's outside. So can I or can't? Like, I have a problem. What do I do?
Is it the one with the tiny buttons? Okay.
It could also be, or let's say on my keyring I have a nail clipper. I like to carry it around wherever I like to fly to.
Dude, you have a keyring with a bunch of keys. One of them is the car, but the main ones are for your house. You just have to have.
Yeah.
I don't
or either way, or the elevator, or whatever. Like, what's
the main one of the car?
What do you mean? It's muktzah. I'm not carrying muktzah because I feel like
carrying keys. It
it's not so simple.
Opens up something that's muktzah. The key itself is not.
Very simple. It's not used for shopping.
What?
A key is not for the elevator. It's not just shopping.
This key right here goes to my locker here.
You're using it. Just a keychain.
Where's your carry-ins?
30 minutes. There's no way I'm coming here.
But you could come here.
It would be a huge difference.
It doesn't matter. You could come here, so it's no problem. If you're in Beit Shemesh for Shabbos, someone happy.
Like, I don't know. Carry your belt. Like, it's okay. It's okay, to walk.
Yes. Yeah. If you can walk it, it's fine. But if you're in Beit Shemesh, you're a problem. You can't walk it. If you're in America, it's even worse. Because you really can't walk it. So what then?
And the key would be muktzah. This key,
it's a whole show. It's a whole problem. It's a discussed last time.
That's
it was one of the earliest. No, it's a whole show. It's not so simple. It's not such easy.
But also, doesn't it have to also do with whether there's an error?
Why?
Muktzah. What do you do with it? You're not going to let your kid play with it. You're not going to you're going to be careful with it because you need to keep your keys around.
You have extra copies of
notes. I don't know if you do. He doesn't. And lack of keys in Chutz Chesed, I don't know if you know, it's really hard. He doesn't want to, that's the situation here. I don't know, whatever you want to say. It's not, he doesn't give it to play. That doesn't make a difference, so it's worthless, like a stone. If I have a stone attached to my keys, that's okay? It's not something you would ever use it for that. You wouldn't use it for any other use, most people. I actually maybe do have an answer that way, because in Uman, you can't get a wine opener, and I've used a key before. So if you use a key, you're right, not that key, that key, forget it, you're right. I don't know, but Echelo Yiyah, that's the way, that's the question. So Michal Shabbos, she's not sure. One way or the other way. Either way, the Michal Shabbos says, I don't know. It said, could be that the permitted keys. So he takes it from buses. He says it's a base. We know that anything that's a base force prohibited prohibits. He said, are the prohibited keys becoming like they're on the permitted keys and make them the same status or not? He said maybe not. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he's not happy with someone who has a car key. He's like, I can't say you're not allowed to carry it on, but please take it off before Shabbos and put it away. So it's for looks, so don't keep it on the key. Am I going to say that you're not allowed? I won't say you're not allowed, but I'm not happy. He's not thrilled. Because again, child of a bus.
So, I mean, so that same fact, because it's not like the way of Shabbos, because the same thing with that. Like, when
no, this is easier.
I know it's easier. I know it's like a stage removed, but it's still like, it would be still the...
Not only because it's a permitted use. It's easier because, even I think according to anyone, if you could get here, if you left something in your locker that was desperate, or someone else left the York of this, they would come here. You don't need more than that for Moksha. Yeah. It's not Moksha, it's for permitted use, it's not for permitted use. I can do that in Shabbos. No problem. Beit Shemesh, like I said, or in New Jersey, you have a problem. Because you can't get to Chutz Chesed.
Right.
So then it's Moksha, it's impossible to get there on Shabbos. But the minute it's possible, it doesn't matter whether you're going to or not going.
What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. And some say it's a shadow key because you permit it. It's a question of how to look at it.
So like your house key and your mailbox key together?
That's fine. Mailbox key is no problem. When you give back my key, drop it on my mailbox, I'll use my mailbox key and open it up. In America, it might be a problem. Probably also not. America's a little more complicated because maybe there's mail on it. It's muktzah, maybe.
No, but there's normally no mail.
Here's no mail. So it shouldn't be a problem. I don't think it's a problem.
Could be mailed the day before you pick
it up. Theoretically, that's the question. If it's mail, maybe. It depends maybe how your mailbox is constructed. Okay. In short, that's how things... Okay.
So do we need to have a Shabbos bell that we're carrying a key?
Not unless you don't allow the air. If you don't learn the Eruvs, do you want to carry it all? Because I don't want to, I'm afraid. You're afraid? I hear. If not, come back. You don't need to shot. Yeah, we said again that you can move food for no reason. How about garments or glasses? Can I move them for no reason? Or not? See, that's the question. That's the exact question. Is that because some people say that theoretically. So the question is, if I feel like if I have no enjoyment out of it, I'm not getting anything out of it.
Well, can you hang up your coat on a coat rack or a hanger on Shabbos?
Sure. Why not?
I thought I ever heard a story that someone was hung a coat on a tree during Shabbos.
Tree is different, I'll tell you. No,
you were telling us a story about
the stifler. Yes, I don't know if I told so possibly, but the it's not any hook.
Yeah.
It's something that's growing. The mystery growing, you're not allowed to use it. There was a special decree made. That's something totally its own thing. So you can't use it. Gotcha. Yeah. So it's not about regular hat. That's not a problem at all. Unless it's a problem carrying, then it might be to see what. But usually, it won't be a problem at all. So now the question is: garments or glasses? Are they the same or not? Can you just move them because you feel like it?
Well, normally, you have to put them either in your case or in a safe spot.
Yeah, but so you're maybe raising a very good question. You're saying, what about, why are glasses, why isn't Muxumach Mechassar and Kiss? It's valuable. You don't use it for anything else.
Yeah, 3,000 shekels.
Could be very valuable. Now, the truth is that we saw before that the whole issue of creating the status of the Muxa, because it's too valuable and you're careful not to put it, not to use it, or not to put it in a particular place, right, the Chisor and Kiss Muxa, that might not be conferable on something which has permitted use. It's only conferable on something which you usually use for prohibited needs. So glasses might not be possible to become that way. It might not be possible to make glasses chisar kiss, but otherwise you're making a very good point. It might be just glasses that are not so expensive that you don't care. If there is such a thing even, I don't even know. Maybe not. Maybe it's probably such a thing. Good point. I didn't even think of that.
We just bought my left pair of glasses, 3,000 shekels.
Well, kind of steep.
Yeah.
Excellent point. Great. Okay. So the Chazon Ish says it's okay. He says that anything that you need all the time, the point of food is you need it all the time. You need clothes all the time, you need your shoes all the time, that's just the way it is. You need your glass all the time, he says, so it's not a problem. So now, what about shoes on Yom Kippur? Leather shoes on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear them. They have no use. They're no different than stone. Can I move them or not?
Maybe you can move them in the space.
Why? Maybe like a stone.
So a guy walked home from Shul and people barefooted carrying his shoes.
That's the question. Can you or can't you? That's exactly.
He realized he could wear his leather shoes there, but he took them off, and he was walking home barefooted.
That's the exact question. Exactly. Does he have to wait and use his shoe? How does it work?
His nose.
But even in a case where you can't use shoes for different use, let's say, where you wouldn't, Rav Scheinberg says they're cleaned from after the head to their vessel which have a permitted use. So because the whole year round they're usable. I had another reason. I probably should write this down. I mean, a person who's ill does wear shoes. I mean, it's not like if the weather is bad, if suddenly it snows and there's a blizzard and it's dangerous, you walk around with shoes. So anyway, I don't understand the question really even begins. It was interesting to see his reasoning, but just in general.
outside of like clothing that you have like everyday use that you sell, that you would move just some, right? Like, aren't there, I heard like a halakha that like with like game pieces, if you're just moving them, like it's a sword to move them, just stomp. Like, if you're not intending to use them for like
that's
the act of the game.
Exactly. But here it's something, because it's something which everyone needs.
Yeah.
It's like a usual use, so the chazanish says it's permitted. Just like food. And the Rav says that's the custom. A person who wants to move a garment, listen, think about it. We don't go into our closet filled with clothes and say, wait, if I can get to my shirt behind this pile of clothes, I really shouldn't move it because it's a shadow of muktzah. We don't do that. So nobody does that, and that's because he says the maze like chazanish. Like I said, others argue. And they say, any vessel, I don't care what it is, that was part of the decree, and we don't care. Is an esrog muktzah on an ordinary Shabbos?
That's
an esrog muktzah on an ordinary Shabbos?
No.
The fruit? Say
yes.
And we can smell it. No? 100%
right.
Not. Yes,
I read it. Shlomo Zalman says yes.
On a regular Shabbos? That Shabbos is Shlomo Zalman.
He says unless you're a regular, like let's say this week, your esrog is left over from Sukkot. Let's say you're not the kind of guy, like usually, let's say most people, we're not smelling an esrog every day.
So what would you do
with it? We forgot about it. On Shabbos, something I got interested in. I think I'm going to smell it.
So why else would you be touching it? Like?
No, on Shabbos, I suddenly want to smell it. Or I have another reason.
You want to show it to me?
Yeah,
I
have
a Shabbos. I'm going to show it to you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a Shabbos on Shabbos.
It's not a matter of ladder. He says for us, because we set it aside, and we're careful just to use it, it has no meaning.
You mean on regular Shabbos, it's nothing special.
It's nothing special, but it's not even really edible food. You can't eat it. It's like a potato. No, you can't. No, you can't. You've eaten an esrog? Try it. Tell me if you manage it. The Gemara says you can. I don't know what kind they're talking about.
You can make esrog.
You can on Shabbos now to make it. You can make a potato too, but a raw potato is muktzah.
A raw potato is muktzah?
Sure.
Why?
Can't eat it.
It's food. Why can't you eat it if you peel it?
Most people wouldn't eat it. Let's put it that way. But you're right. You're also right, and we will get there. You're right. You have a point. You have a point. I'm not going to say
that. Don't
eat it. Anyway.
On the question of the esrog, what about the issue with Shemitah?
Oh, Shemitah. Shemitah was an issue this year. Esrog. Yay!
No, that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Next year is going to be an issue, but we have a little time. Maybe we'll do a little bit of Shemitah every day. We'll see. Shemitah is very...
No. The question was muktzah. With the esrog.
Shemitah, it doesn't become muktzah because it's usable. I'm allowed to use it, usually.
But it's Shabbos.
So what? I could use an esrog. Shabbos and esrog, like you say, in the middle of this, the question, let's just finish first. If I want before Shabbos to smell my esrog, or I'm the type of guy who smells an esrog, that's normal for me to do, so then you can. We have esrog with cloves in it, it says that. But if not, it's like a fruit. You left it suddenly, say, oh, there's an esrog there. We just put that away. Usually, we leave it in shul. If some child, I feel like smelling it, it could be problematic. From Shabbos, it's like, it's already, you tossed it out, you don't want it. It could be problematic. Stick it to a whole child. Presumably, even a regular Shabbos, not only on, presumably even a regular Shabbos, unless you're the type of person who normally would use it. Tashas. Because it's not something you has any real use. That's the way it seems. If you buy one for smell, you get one for smell, you have it in mind, then it for sure is useful. Shemitah doesn't make a difference until the time when it's not around. When it's not in the field, you're not allowed to use it either. You have to put it outside. It's a whole, you have problems. Shemitah's got its own complicated levels.
As far as the harvest on the last year.
No, it could be that you're right.
Not a harvest.
It could be that you're right and that it's not relevant. It could be that a particular time you have to put it out, I don't even remember. I don't know.
That's
but,
why I
but you're right.
The only food in the world.
You're right. It stays. That's right. I forgot.
It stays. It grows. But you don't harvest it. It keeps growing.
Yeah. It's
amazing.
It's a hiddish.
That's why I brought it up. Because it's so complicated.
That's complicated.
So harvest cycle.
Oh, Hashem.
Cycle. Yes.
I don't know. There might be different types. I don't know.
What do you do with it now? I mean, it's after Sukkot.
It's not Shemitah this year, it's Esrog. Only last year is Esrog. Only next year, sorry, Esrog. I mean, a problem. This year's Esrog had no problem with Shemitah. It's only vegetables, you're right. Vegetables, It's a machlokis. But the Rambam holds it has to do with when you pick them.
But isn't etrog considered a vegetable? I thought.
No, it's a fruit.
No, I know it's like a fruit, but I heard it was considered.
It has its own category, right? So Rosh Hashanah, it's brought at different places this idea of what is Nesrug like and how is it like. For Shemitah, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
You mean disposing
it? Yeah, in Shemitah, it has to do with how much it's ready. It's not picking it in Shemitah. Not like a vegetable in that way. For Shemitah. The Gemara says in some ways it's like a fruit tree, and in some ways it's like a vegetable.
Does it have seeds?
Sure. So is lemon. The tree. But
so what do I do?
This year you have no problems because it's not a Shemitah Esrog.
Okay.
Next year is a question what to do. You can't get rid of it. You can't bring it out of Israel is a big problem. Shemitah, you're not supposed to bring it all out of Israel, like wine that thing you're not supposed to bring out. It's like it's got its own particular halakhah. That's the fact of Shemitah. How about a shofar? Is a shofar muktzah?
Yeah.
Mr. Brewer had said it's not.
Rabbi.
Mr. Brewer says a klishah l'isur, but you're right. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach says it's chisaron kis. We don't use it for anything else. There's no other use. It's that's what it's.
Wouldn't it also be under classification that it's extremely valuable?
That's exactly, precisely. That's what he says, chisaron kis, it's very valuable, you put it away, you don't just use it for any purpose, that's what he says. I'll leave you with one.
Isn't the whole reason why it's supposed to, because we're going to carry it, isn't that the whole reason why you blow Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah, but that's why I'm not obligated to use it on Rosh Hashanah. But to say that it's not only a vessel which has a prohibited use, but that you can't carry it at all, it's a question. Mishbura says you can carry it, because you can use the Gemara says. You can use it to give a child a drink. And no one's given a child a drink in a shofar for many, many, many centuries. So, I'll leave you with one last question.
Fancy the shofar.
Yes. One last filling question, which I don't plan on answering now. But it's just an interesting question. Sometimes a soldier is called up for duty on Shabbos. What do you do if you're a soldier called up for duty? They're going to take you somewhere where they won't be shown. Can you L or weep? You can't get shown. Can you bring it shown?
I would say yes.
Yes.
I would say
because you're punter for Shabbos, so it's
not. No, I'm not punter for Shabbos. It's just a movie thing for tomorrow.
It's not part of or you don't have to have stolen you have to cheer gun.
I'm not on Shabbos.
I do have on Shabbos to carry my Shabbos to put them on for next week, but the fact is that you need them for the following week. It's
right.
It's a mitzvah every day.
You're saying a good point. It's muktzah. The question is that a problem? As for a mitzvah, moving it, it's a very good point. There's just one other thing, but it'll be Sunday. But yes, generally speaking, you're right. In general, you're correct. Usually.
So what's the answer?
Yeah, what's the answer?
Okay, so then I'll tell you the answer. You said the answer. 100% correct. Tefillin is for a mitzvah. So for a mitzvah, I'm carrying for a mitzvah. But if you knew before Shabbos that you're going to be called up, or you might be called up, you may not carry it, or it's a problem. It's a shiloh. Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, I don't know. What do you mean? Why didn't you? You should have arranged it before Shabbos. You can't carry on Shabbos. If you didn't know.
If you're going to go to Haifa, how would you know that? There's no way you make arrangements to get to Haifa before.
Friday? You have to find a way. You have to find a way. You have to arrange something else. He says it's a Shabbos. He says, I don't know.
If you're doing an emergency call up.
But it's not an emergency because you knew Friday. Friday, I knew before Shabbos and I could have arranged it. Or I had enough time to arrange it. Even though it might be costly. Maybe I have no choice but to send some sort of special taxi to go to the Arab village, wherever, and put it in the protected bunker. It's filling. I mean, it's not so relevant to the Israeli or Lebanon. It's not so relevant to the Israeli army because usually they will have filling, hopefully kosher. Probably kosher. No, I'm just kidding. Probably kosher. Let's put it that way. Let's hope we'll have that. So it's not like it's nothing. Yeah, Chabad, whatever. You'll find a way. The Israeli army is going to find. I meant to say, they'll find a way around the problem. It's not like you have a will. But I mean, there's a film story with Israeli army also that Sternberg says he got a question with someone who said, I have to do watch the whole night, and they let us off only, it's, you know, the winter, 5:30 p.m. we get a break. We wake up 3 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. we work. There's lunch break. You're not allowed to do anything but eat. There's no time. So the Mizrahi guys were like, well, b'di'evet, if you have no choice, you can watch film the night before and it counts. No bracha. So what do I do? So Rishtama said, you tell them, your rabbi said, you have to give them 5 minutes to put on film and daven, and too bad. And that's your religious obligation. And you don't know what it is. B'di'evet, what are you, in communist Russia? You're lying on that b'di'evet, you don't make a bracha? You're not in communist Russia. What is this? You tell them you have, there's no choice. So they're like, okay, we'll give you an extra 10 minutes to put on film. And then all the other people are like, what about us? And no, your rabbi said it's okay. His rabbi isn't that.
Anyway, have a good shot.